Father, once again, we want to come to you and just thank you for this beautiful day you've given us to go back into your Word. And as I always ask, Father, that you will empower me by your Holy Spirit to preach your Word. Not on man's wisdom, but as the Word says, on the wisdom of God and the power and the demonstration of your Holy Spirit. So empower me, Father, by your Holy Spirit to preach your Word. And I pray that you will sink this Word deep into our hearts this morning and to all those who are listening, that you will quicken our spirit by your power to hear your Word. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen. Open up your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read verses 10 through 15. And this morning's title of the sermon is The Scale. The Scale. Truth/Love. The Scale. Truth/Love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. But before I go into the text, I want to read to you this morning on God's little promises in your bulletin. So if you open up your bulletins, let's start there. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. The Scripture says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified." I want to open up to that this morning, because we're going to have a scale here this morning on truth and love. The facts of love in 1 John. In five short chapters, John uses different forms of the word love 46 times. He wanted to teach his readers the importance of love in the Christian walk. The principle of love is to keeping God's word is a proof that we love Him. When we love our brother, we will live without stumbling. We are not to love the world or the things in the world. We cannot love the world and love God also. God's love prompted Him to make us His children through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. Loving other believers is a fundamental requirement of the Christian life. A failure to love other Christians raises serious questions about the genuineness of our faith. Genuine love always results in action, not merely sentimental words. God is a source of all love. Mature love does not produce fear, but instead imparts courage. And long before we loved God, He first loved us. That comes from the Nelson King James Study Bible, which I'm going to read from this morning. So let's open up the opening text, 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. We have a command, or the imperative, on love. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 12 of 1 John 3, not as Cain, who was the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So what is the balance? How do we balance this love? This Christian love we're supposed to have for one another. We're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at what is the balance between truth and love. We must remember that whenever love and truth come head to head, We have to look at God's truth according to the Bible to rule that love. If you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit of God will guide us into the truth on this issue. You see, God knows our hearts and knows whether or not we have really been born again and that we are truly His children. The love that truly born-again believers have for each other is not solely based on emotion. That love is based on the truth. That is what we're going to look at today. That is what we're going to focus at this morning from 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. We're going to look at the perfect balance or the scale for understanding or testing the balance between love and truth or truth and love. And that can only be found in God's Word. What is truth? What is truth? Open up your bulletins. Let's start with truth. Because before me and you can really know how to love, we got to know the truth of love. So truth. Let's look at a definition of truth from a dictionary. In your bulletins, we got number one, truth. Truth is, the definition, true quality, corresponding to the fact or reality. Something factual. Something that corresponds to fact or reality. It says, spoken truth. An obvious fact. Something that is so clearly true that it hardly needs to be stated. That's interesting, isn't it? Because as we go through the text, the Bible says that's how you separate the children of God and the children of the devil. Because it says an obvious fact, something that is so clearly true that it hardly needs to be stated. So it's so clearly seen, this love, that you really don't even need to state it. Truth is honesty, sincerity, integrity. Truth, come back to conformity, is adherence to a standard or a law. Let's go back and let's look at this a little bit now. We've got a definition of truth. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, once again. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. You see, Christians, as Christians, we should manifest the love of God. We should manifest and practice righteousness. Children of the devil display their basic nature by sinning. Believers who sin are not expressing their nature as children of God. Instead, they are following the patterns of the devil. Interesting thought. You see, from that text right there, 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, we have a couple of very identification marks, or marks of identification of a truly born-again child of God. We have, it says there, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So those who practice righteousness, those who seek after righteousness, is one of the manifestations that they are a child of God. And the other one, the end of that verse, it says, nor is he who does not love his brother. So love for the Christian brethren is another manifestation that you are a child of God. That's why we have to look at the God's Word to get the perfect scale of truth and love. I'm going to read for you this morning from a couple of great commentaries I use a lot. One of them is J. Vernon McGee. We're going to look at this a little bit. So if you bear with me here, I'm going to read with you on what truth and love is. This is from Through the Bible, J. Vernon McGee. First John chapter 3, verse 10 says, In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. We ought to be able to find a little fruit in a Christian's life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 says, "Wherefore by their fruit you shall know them." You see, John gives us two clear marks of identification of a true child of God. He says, "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God." It does not matter who he is or what profession he makes. If a person is not trying to live for God, he is not a child of God. It does not matter how active you are. You may be a deacon in the church. You may be busy as a termite. But the Apostle John says that the important marks of identification is, one of them, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not a child of God. That is a strong statement. But John said it, and the Spirit of God said it through him. What marks of a true child of God? Do you seek for righteousness? Do you hunger for righteousness? Then we have a second mark of identification. It says, neither he that loveth not his brother. Do you love other Christians? If you are a child of God, you're going to have love for other Christians. The word love is going to occur again and again in this epistle. We need to get our understanding of it straight right here at the beginning. There are actually three Greek words that are translated by our English word love. The first Greek word is eros, and it is never used in the New Testament. It refers to erotic love having to do with sex. The Greeks talked a great deal about sex, and they had the god Eros and the goddess Aphrodite, the worship of whom involved sex. Again, may I say, the word eros is never used in the New Testament. The second word, phileo, means friendship. It means a love of the brethren. It is a brother sort of love. The third word, the highest word of love, is agape. That is God's love. Agape is the word John uses here as he tells us that we are to love our brother. We are to have a concern for our Christian brother. We are to be helpful to him. It does not mean that you necessarily care for his ways, his conversation, or the things that interest him. It does not mean you have to run up and put your arms around him. It means that you are to be concerned for him. You cannot harbor hatred in your heart against another believer. He says, he will study more about this in the next chapter, that this love is not something that is sloppy and slippery by any means. It does not mean that you are to help, that is, to be taken in by every Tom, Dick, and Harry who comes along. We are warned to be very careful indeed and to keep our spiritual eyes open. That we are to have a love in our hearts for our brethren that are in the Lord. This love is to be a concerned love, a love that acts, a love that does something beneficial to our brothers and sisters who are in Christ. Now, back to go back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, though. And let's look at this. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Once again, I want to take you to J. Vernon McGee. He's got some great illustrations and commentary on this love. Because do Christians really know how to love? Since God is love and He is our Father in heaven, do we really know how to love? You see the scale of truth and love. God's Word tells us how to love one another. True love. You see, God is love. little children will love each other. Beloved, it says here in 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He says, beloved, in J. Vernon McGee, let us love one another. Why? For love is of God. He says, though, let's be very careful. Be very careful as to what John is talking about. He has just given us a warning against false teachers who are not to be loved. He said, I want to be clear on that. I don't pray for them. I don't give any pious platitudes, sayings, or I'll pray for them. I'm not praying for them. They are the children of the devil. I'm praying for God's people, and I'm praying for the lost sinner who will turn to Christ if I can just get the word of God to him. Having given a warning against these false teachers, John returns now to the theme of this section. Believers. Believers are to love one another. Again, may I say that the word for love here is not eros. John is not talking about sex. All through this section, the word for love is the word agape. Agape love. It is not sentimental. It is not sexual. And it is not a social love. It is a supernatural love. It is that when the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit, can put this kind of love into our hearts, that's when the Spirit of God can make it real to us. It is a love of God, and only the Spirit of God can enable me and you to extend that kind of love to our brothers who are in Christ. Verse 8 of 1 John 4. He that loveth not knoweth, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This is another test of whether or not you are a child of God. I'm not asking you if you love your papa or you love your mama. I'm not asking you whether you love your wife or your husband or your children or even your kissing cousins. I'm not asking you that. What I am asking, do you love other believers? Maybe someone will say, I can love some of them. He says that this is helpful. You're moving in the right direction. Just keep moving on. There are some believers that me and you know are very unlovely. But I think that we can love them in the sense that we can have a concern for them. I do not think it is essential, once again, to put your arms around them. The way that me and you can show your love is by your concern for them, the concern for others, which is going to result in helping them in their time of need. He put a great story in here by Dr. Harry Ironside. He says, Dr. Harry Ironside has a very remarkable story relative to this, which I am going to pass on to you, because I think it demonstrates in a wonderful way the truth that only Christianity reveals the God of love. He says, years ago, a lady who prided herself on belonging to the intelligentsia said to me, I have no use for the Bible, for Christian superstition, and for religious dogma. It is enough for me to know that God is love. Well, I said, do you know it? Why, of course I do, she said. We all know that, and that is a religion enough for me. I do not need the dogmas of the Bible. How do you find out that God is love, I asked. Why, she said, everyone knows that. Do they know it yonder in India, I asked. The poor mother, in her distress, throwing her little babe into the holy Ganges to be eaten by filthy and repulsive crocodiles as a sacrifice for her sins? Does she know that God is love? Oh well, she is ignorant and superstitious, she replied. Those poor, wretched folks in the jungles of Africa, bowing down to the gods of wood and stone, and in constant fear of their fetishes, the poor heathen in other countries, do they know that God is love? Perhaps not, she said, but in a civilized land, we all know it. But how is it that we know it? Who told us so? Where did we find it? I do not understand what you mean, she said, always known it. Let me tell you this, I answered. No one in the world ever knew it until it was revealed from heaven and recorded in the Word of God. It is here and nowhere else. It is not found in all the ancient literatures of the world. Where do you find love? Where do you find the truth about love? The scale to how to govern this love? You find it from the Bible. Let's go to John chapter 17 and look about this truth. John chapter 17. We were in the epistle of 1 John. Go back to John chapter 17. It's Christ's priestly prayer. Verse 15 through 19. Jesus says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 17 of John 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As I sent them into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Let me go back. Verse 18. As you sent me, he says, into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Sanctify. What does sanctify mean? It means set apart. But there's two ways to look at this statement. As separate for holiness, and as separate for service for the work of Jesus Christ. According to the first view, Jesus was praying not only that the disciples should be kept from evil, but that they should advance in holiness. Every one of us should advance in holiness. But in verse 18, he says, sanctification, it seems to refer to disciples' mission. Every one of us has a mission, indicating that sanctify may also mean that Jesus was setting apart the disciples for his work. And your word is truth. It says here at the end of verse 17, it is a very strong statement of Jesus' confidence in the veracity of the Scripture. You see, people's opinions may vary, as we read from that lady's. And experiences are notoriously untrustworthy. But there's one thing that will remain true forever. What is that, saints? That's the Word of God. That's where me and you can find the truth. How to govern this love. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren loved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and believe in the truth. Only the Spirit of God can bring us in the truth of His Word and how to love. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So right there in verse 22, Peter says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And he goes on to say in chapter 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How are you going to grow in this love? By the Word of God, by the truth. You've got to keep it in perspective. When we look at love, we've got to have truth there first, right? How do you know how to love if you don't know the truth about love? You see, before me and you can truly know how to love, you need the truth. You need the ultimate standard, the holy standard, which is God's truth, the Bible, to know how to love. That's why truth should always come before love. You've got to understand what love is by the truth to really know how to love. Let's go to number two. Let's go to love now. Let's go down and look at love. We've seen what truth is, right? We see, how do we know how to love? By the truth, which is the Bible, by God's Word, and by the Holy Spirit that brings into that truth. And now love. What is love? What is love? Love. Let's get a definition of it, and we'll go back to the Scriptures. Definition of love. Very strong affection. An intense feeling or tender affection and compassion. It says here, young children need unconditional love. Passionate attraction and desire. A passionate feeling of romantic desire and sexual attraction. That's the definition of love also. Another one is a romantic affair. A romantic affair, possibly sexual. Another one is a strong liking. Strong liking for or pleasure gained from something. Again, illustration is his love of music. And then we got a couple other ones, the definitions of love. Christianity is God's love for humanity. The mercy, the grace, and the charity shown by God to humanity. In Christianity, worship of God. The worship and the adoration of God. So here we got some definitions of love. You might look down your scale of love and see, do you love the right way? Do you have the truth of love? Are you letting your emotions override the truth on love? You see, true love is not based solely on emotion. True love is based on truth and obedience to that truth. Now, let's go back to the opening text and look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 now. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Because we started up with verse numbers 10 and 11 and 12. It's called the command or the imperative of love. So we looked at the truth of how to love. Now let's go back to love. 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, go back to the context of that verse. Go back to verse 10. And let's read 10 through 13 again. In this, to children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is a message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. So, love. So if you do not love, you do not have eternal life abiding in you. Let's go a little deeper with this. I want to go take you now to a commentary of John MacArthur. On this text. By their hatred, the children of the devil have always revealed their true character. Redemptive history contains many instances of the world persecuting God's children. The people of his own town hated Jesus and attempted to kill him after hearing just one message from him. The leaders of the nation plotted to kill him. And the world hated the apostles and martyred all but the apostle John, whom they exiled to the island of Patmos. Enemies of the gospel have always persecuted those who love the truth. Even today, believers around the world die under the hateful, murderous hands of the children of the devil. Makes a lot more sense, as J. Vernon McGee says. I don't pray for the children of the devil. Right. Do you? I pray for the children of God and for the lost, that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And John MacArthur says, in this customary, absolute, black and white style, John reminds readers that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That does not mean that a believer could never commit an act of murder, or that someone who has committed murder can never be saved, but it does mean that those who are characterized by hateful attitudes and who regularly harbor murderous thoughts evidence an unregenerated heart and will perish in eternity unless they repent of their sins. So, love. How do we know how to love? By the truth. Jesus said in John 14, verses 15 through 24, this is a good test, Mr. Christian. Do you love Jesus? Because Jesus said in John 14, verse 15 through 24, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So Jesus, speaking the words of God, says, do you love him? If we love him, we will keep his commandments. Based on the truth, right? He goes on, John chapter 15, verse 9 through 17. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that you lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So we had truth. We had to get the truth first and know what true love means to understand how we're supposed to love one another. And you take that from a text from 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, that says the imperative or the command of love. It identifies the children of God and the children of the devil. It's a perfect scale because it comes from God. As we close this morning, we want to close with the perfect balance or scale on love and truth, or truth and love. We all know the verse, John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's love, his perfect love for the world, is not designated for any nation, any certain ethnic group. It is for the whole world. He sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. That's the love that God has for the world. Okay? That's the perfect love. Now, let's look at some others. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. The Bible says, do not love the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. See, that's why you have to have the truth to balance this love thing. In the message of this, Eugene Peterson, it says, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out the love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all that's wanting, is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3 now. Let's go to verse 16. We looked at verse 10 through 15. Let's go to 16 now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 23. Because we had in the first several chapters a dissension between God's children and the children of the devil. But now verse number 15 says, or 16, by this we know love. Okay? By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandments. I want to throw in here the message once again from Eugene Peterson, the paraphrase of this. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers, and not just to be out for ourselves. If you see your brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living, truly living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating of self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows about us, more about us than we know about ourselves. And friends, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch out our hands and receive what we ask for, because we're doing what he wants us to do and what pleases him. Again, this is God's command, to believe in his personally named Son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other in line with the original command. As we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence, by the Spirit that he has given us. I want to close with John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. To the upper room. Before Jesus got crucified, we know that. We're going to partake in the Lord's Supper after this sermon. But Jesus went up to the upper room. And he began by washing his disciples' feet. But then at the end of John chapter 13, he gives this new commandment. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So Jesus gives a new command on love based on new standards. This kind of love, it was a sacrificial love based upon the example of Christ's perfect love. This kind of love can only be produced by the children of God, because this kind of love is a supernatural love that only can be empowered by the Holy Spirit that God has placed inside of each believer. You see, that's what I want to open up with. God's little promises on 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, as I read, and I'll read again. "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified." So the perfect scale, the scale between truth and love, before you can truly love, you got to know the truth about love. And to truly love the way Jesus Christ commanded us to love is a supernatural love, only that can be done by the children of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's close in prayer. Father, as we close this morning, we want to thank you for your perfect love for your Son, Jesus Christ, given as an example that we can look into and look at his life, look at your word to know how we are supposed to love. We've got the scale. We got your word. We got the truth. As it says, Jesus said, "Father, sanctify them by your truth. Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth." And I pray that this morning for each and every one of us, that you will bring us in the truth on how to love by your Holy Spirit and by your word. And Father, if there's anyone listening that has never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, they don't know how to love. They don't know how to love it with that agape love that you command us to love with, that you command to love one another, the Christian believer with. And I pray that they will drop to their knees right now, and that you will draw them unto yourself, and they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Then and only then, once you seal them with your Holy Spirit, then we know how to love. We thank you for your truth, so we can know how to love correctly. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this message. Bless your word as it goes out. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.